coming to you from a studio somewhere out there. It's the Snark Factor with Fingers Malloy, featuring Ash Gow, Sarah Smith, April D. Gregory, and the Snark Factor players. Now, here's Fingers.
Wham Talk 1600, good morning. This is the Snark Factor. I'm your peppy host, Fingers Malloy. Thank you so much for spending part of your Sunday morning with us at a new time on Wham Talk 1600, 7 a.m. Sunday morning. Sarah Smith.
Good morning. I don't know if it picked up on the microphone, but I just scratched my back. Like a real nice, you know, early morning stretch back crack. I heard it. I don't know if you guys did.
We didn't catch that on mic.
Well, now you all know it happened.
Are you of the age now where you have to start cracking backs and knuckles and knees and necks?
Well, what happens is I'm a big fan of stretching. Mm. I love stretching.
Are you into the yoga?
I'm not so much.
No?
Not so much. Oh, and we talked about goat yoga a few weeks ago. Yeah, I'm not so into the yoga. Okay, but this is a weird thing. There was this... Somebody told me once that yoga wasn't good for me because of how like long I am, and that somebody fed me a bunch of BS once that got stuck in my head. And so I never really like got into yoga, but I probably would really like it because I love stretching. But what I am at the age of isn't so much that I need to crack things. It's that it just sort of happens.
Oh yeah. I hear you.
Like, oh, this is a nice, I'm stretching my back, and then pop, 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 pop. I'm like, yep. Oh, right. Old now.
I walked down a flight of stairs, and it sounds like someone's rattling a bag of change.
And I'm glad this came up because I injured my shoulder sleeping last night, which is the true sign of age. Woke up with a sore shoulder, like, oh, yeah, okay.
That's a great conversation for the doctor.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I've got an injury. Oh, how did you hurt yourself? Sleeping.
Yeah, I woke up like this.
Oh, yes, yes. I once pulled a muscle sneezing, and it took 2 weeks before I was fully healed. Right in the rib cage.
That's amazing.
Fantastic pain. In and out. Breathing. Ouch, ouch, ouch. And I refused to go to the doctor. Because what's the doctor going to do? Laugh
Make
at you.
Make fun of you for... Right, exactly.
And then, you pulled a muscle. Here's some ibuprofen. I already have the ibuprofen.
Not just laugh at you, but then go to his doctor party with all of his doctor friends. And they will all laugh at you also.
Yeah. Hey, you won't believe this patient I had in the other day. So he comes walking in, limping, favoring one side. He's got a mohawk like he's 20 years old. And I say, what's the problem?
Driving a sports car.
Yeah, driving a sports car. What's the problem? Oh, I sneezed. That's my problem.
Doctor, I need your help.
Give me some morphine.
Oh. I saw an episode of Grey's Anatomy the other week where someone died because they had the hiccups.
Mm.
They had like a really bad case of hiccups, and it led to their death because it like hiccuped a hole into their esophagus or something. And I'm going, oh, we're all going to die. Okay.
Right? Deadly hiccups.
Hiccups. Hiccups.
What?
Hiccups. Well, we're pulling muscles with sneezes, we're injuring shoulders, sleeping, and people die from hiccups.
Well, we did a story here on the Snark Factor, it must have been about 3 or 4 months ago, where a gentleman in Great Britain almost died because he blew a hole through his voice box by trying to hold in a sneeze. You remember that?
I do remember that.
And I say that
as I forgot about that, and he had to like be like severe, like treated. He was in the hospital. But he did survive it.
Right. That's an embarrassing
injury. That is embarrassing. Like, just sneeze. Sneezes feel so good. I mean, unless that you pull a muscle on your ribcage.
Right.
I bet the sneeze felt really good until the muscle got pulled.
I don't remember. It's one of those things where you don't remember it. You don't remember the enjoyment you got out of the sneeze because you hurt yourself.
All you remember is the pain.
That's right. Sometimes I wake up at night screaming, thinking of the horror. No, one time I tore a hamstring playing softball.
Ooh.
I mean,
well, that's more of a like logical injury.
That's the first time when I felt I am officially old.
Well, yes, absolutely. But at least you were doing something. It wasn't like, oh, I pulled a hamstring getting out of my recliner.
No, I didn't pull. I tore a hamstring.
Oh,
I
you
just pull it.
tore.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. So here's the worst part about it too, is we were short people, and if I and this happened in the first inning, I was in the field, and I didn't, you know, who stretches for softball?
People that understand their bodies need to
Oh,
stretch before doing strenuous activity.
please. So I'm 30 years old, thinking I'm still 16, and who stretches? And I was in the outfield, and someone hit a ball, and I, went to run for the ball, and I had explosive speed back then, Zaire Smith.
Oh, I can only imagine.
I was like a cat, and I took off running, and then I felt like someone shot a crossbow arrow in the back of my
Oh,
leg.
God.
And
It hurts just thinking about it.
yeah, and so I picked up the ball and I threw it, and I couldn't quit because if I quit, then the team would have had to have forfeit the game.
You played the whole game on a
Yes, torn
torn hamstring?
hamstring. So then I was pitching. They let me pitch, but then I had to bat, and I couldn't. It was my left leg, so I couldn't step in to the pitch to hit.
Did they send in a runner for you too?
No, I mean there was no point because I would hit the ball, and it didn't matter where I hit it. I could barely hit it out of the infield, and someone could easily throw me out at first base because I'm
Oh
Hopalong
my.
Cassidy all the way to first. But I muscled through, and they
Did you guys
still
at
talk
least
about it.
win?
No.
Well,
But people in Central Indiana still talk about my heroics that day.
to this
And I,
day, it's a day that lives in
that's,
infamy.
I try to tell people I'm no hero, but they won't listen.
No, I mean, you were the one. You were the one that carried it through to the end.
Yeah. Not all heroes wear capes,
Wear
Zaire Smith.
capes, exactly. Some of them wear baseball
That's
uniforms.
right. Getting
Were you
old
guys
is.
even in uniforms?
No.
No, of course not. Of course not. And is the injury, does the injury still bother you to this day?
Sometimes I have phantom pain
Nice.
from the injury, and people will ask me what's wrong, and I'll say, oh, it goes back many years. Really don't like to talk about it, and then I talk about it.
Of course. And they're enthralled with every
Yes,
detail.
people are hanging on every word of the story
Yeah.
right now in Southeast Michigan. I know.
It's a scorcher. Watch out for that first one, everybody. It's a doozy.
We should go to the news.
Okay.
Let's go to the news desk with Sarah Smith. Good morning, Sarah.
Good morning. It's Snake Day on the Snark
Oh,
Factor news desk.
careful.
I know. And we're gonna start this one with the cautionary tale, and then the second one will be more of the hero tale. Okay.
Okay.
This is a local to me story in the Virginia area.
Wait a minute. Virginia, or I'm
Well,
told
okay,
it's
so I live in North Carolina, and I spend 50% of my time in DC and Maryland.
Okay.
So I have sort of adapted Virginia as my like safe zone state, home state,
Okay.
because I spend most of my life driving through it.
That's not where I was going with this.
Oh, okay, go
But
ahead. Sorry.
I'm glad that you provided that background because now you can be considered an authority on Virginia when I ask this question.
Of course.
I thought they called it in Virginia. I thought they called it Virginny. I live in Virginny. They don't
No,
say Virginny?
only people in other. No one in Virginia calls it Virginny.
No, they don't.
No.
Oh, well. See, I take your answer much more seriously now that I know your entire Virginia background.
I'm basically Virginia's for lovers.
Sarah Smith, Virginia historian, is on the line right now.
Yes, this is what I'm here for.
Right? Okay.
Virginny.
Virginny.
Oh
Okay.
my God, that's like calling San Francisco San Fran. Like, no, nobody who lives there calls it. Nobody calls it Frisco.
I call it the Fran.
Oh
And I call Missouri, Missouri, because that's what Colonel Potter called it on MASH. So, listen, it's good
I
to
was
know.
talking to oh God, where were they from? Oh no, I
Virginia?
can't remember what. No,
The
they were from out
Fran?
of country. I can't remember what country they were from. It doesn't really matter. But either way, they were in town from Illinois, and they kept calling it Illinois.
Okay.
Because they were foreign, and I referred to it as Illinois, and they didn't know what I was talking. They were like, "Well, what's that?" And I'm like, "Illinois." And they're like, and I had to force myself to call it Illinois so they would know what I was talking about. It was the funniest thing that had ever happened.
You sure they weren't from Virginia or the Fran?
God, where were they from?
Missouri? Latvia?
It was South America. It was somewhere in South America. I just can't remember. I can't remember what country. It doesn't really matter. It's irrelevant to the story. But the point being that they didn't know what Illinois was, but they did know what Illinois was, and I thought that was really cute.
Wow.
Isn't it a law in Illinois that if you call it Illinois, you get fined? I feel like I read that once in one of those like random laws that are still on the books, but not actually enforced books.
Well, they fine you for pretty much breathing in Illinois.
I bet you it is. I'm going to look it up on the internet sometime, and we'll talk about it next week.
I hope so.
Let's get back to the news.
Okay, we're back to the news with Virginia historian.
This is my responsibility to keep us focused on the top news of the day. So today's story out of Virginia, and this is for you people who drive a lot, like me. A snake slithered out of a car air vent while a woman was driving on her lunch break. Now, I don't know if this is something that like happens all the time in the Midwest and you people are like, yeah, so like that's what happens. I've never heard of such a thing happening, so I'm totally freaked out. Laura Goff drove down Main Street in downtown Warrenton, Virginia. She was on Main Street. She was in a highly populated area where this occurred. She was on her lunch break from a nearby law firm when she heard a rattling sound. The office manager looked next to the steering wheel by her steering wheel of her Cadillac SRX and saw a snake slithering out of the air vent.
It was a rattlesnake?
Trying to stay calm, she pulled off the road, jumped out of the SUV, and dialed 911. She heard a rattle. Okay, well, I'll give you the punchline. The animal control guy arrived and confessed that he was afraid of snakes also.
Well, I thought the punchline was going to be they were leaving a law firm and there was a lawyer in the car and the animal control person couldn't figure out what was the snake. Oh, I have jokes. I'll be here all week. Try the fish.
Don't forget to tip your waitress. never actually got the snake. The animal control guy was so afraid of snakes that he dropped it trying to retrieve it. They looked all over in the car. It was not a rattlesnake. It was just a garden snake.
I was going to say, do they have deadly rattlers in Virginia?
I can't possibly imagine.
You are the Virginia historian here on the Snark Factor, Sarah
no,
Smith.
It's gardener snakes. Like that's what Virginia has is gardener snakes. Like that's what we have in Maryland too. Like you're not going to find Cobra Kai. Have you watched Cobra Kai yet? It's so good.
No.
You're not going to find a cobra. You should watch it.
I've never watched The Karate Kid. Go ahead.
Oh, God. Fingers. Okay, well, then don't watch it because it won't. No, then fine. Then fine. Have no fun in your life.
Why would I want to watch 55-year-old men jump up in the air and pretend they're doing karate?
The Karate Kid is a classic.
How old is Ralph Macchio now?
He might be, but now that's not the thing. It's a whole new – it's not about Ralph Macchio. It's about the other guy. It's about Lawrence.
His return
to fame.
What's Mr. Miyagi doing?
He's gone. He's long gone.
Oh.
But what's his name? LaRusso? LaRusso is a car salesman now. So he has a giant like luxury car dealership, and everyone who comes to buy a car gets a bonsai tree.
Okay.
I just cracked my knuckle to bring the story in full circle.
Does every car also come with a gardener snake?
No.
No.
But you never know. You're going to find a gardener snake in the buzzer. Okay, so that's what happens. So if you're ever driving through Virginia, especially in a highly populated city center area, just be aware that a snake might come out of your air vent. And the thing to do is to pull over and get out of your car and let the snake have it.
No, you reach down, you grab the snake.
I mean, really.
You show it that you mean business.
Right.
That's what you do. You reach down and you grab the snake, Sarah Smith.
What you do is you always keep a rake in your car.
Oh, there you go. A rake.
They tried
snake's nemesis.
I highly recommend, like, this full article be read by the listening audience, because there's a lot of really funny jokes in here. Like, they go to a lot of lengths. They get sticky traps. They get, like, mouse sticky traps and put them in the car. Like, neither of the animal control guy, like, no one's able to take care of it. And, like, she hip to just drove the car home and, you know, like...
There's a whole snake nest. Do they nest? Snakes nest?
They
nest?
I think they do. I think they do. So it took until the next day until they caught the snake.
And it was still in the car.
Yeah. So one of the sticky traps was successful, but it took overnight. And the snake lived, stuck to the thing. Like... I had a roommate once that used those traps. They're supposed to be humane. What's humane about it? Like, I just short, quick, snap, boom. That's how you kill a rodent. You don't have them stuck on a pad. Then what do you do with it? Take it somewhere and beat it against concrete?
No, you decapitate it with a shovel.
Oh my gosh, stop
it. That's what you do. Well, listen, I know there are certain people in this listening audience that will say to themselves, self, the woman deserved it for driving a Cadillac.
That's cold.
Some soccer mom out there living in excess, driving around in her Cadillac, working That's for probably, a law firm.
I bet she's part of the 1% too.
There's some people out there that are starving. They would love to eat that snake.
But now it has glue all over it and you can't eat it.
Yeah. Have you had deep fried snake?
No.
Oh, it's a delight.
Stop. Are you serious?
No.
Oh my God.
Although you can deep fry pretty much everything.
I was going to say, like, I'm only questioning your joking because you can deep fry anything.
Go to the state fair. You'll see it.
Absolutely. Yeah. Well, are you ready for the second snake story on Snark Factor?
Did you see how I teased the second story by saying you decapitate it with a shovel?
Correct.
Yeah.
So this is a story. This is the difference between a Texas man and a Virginia person, a Virginia woman.
Virginie.
So this story is out of Texas. He decapitated – a Texas man decapitated a rattlesnake. Mm-hmm. After he decapitated it, it still bit him.
No!
The head of the rattlesnake continued on after being removed from the snake body.
Because it's from hell. That's why.
That's exactly it. For Jennifer and Jeremy Sutcliffe, it was supposed to be a relaxing day at home. A daughter and granddaughter were coming to visit. A family barbecue was planned for later in the afternoon. But by the end of that day in late May, Jeremy Sutcliffe would be in a coma, his body ravaged by rattlesnake venom, and doctors unsure whether the 40-year-old would survive.
It all
started with some yard work. God, this might be the most well-written thing out of Washington Post I've ever... Red. Well, somebody at the Washington Post is actually telling a story.
The lesson here is don't do yard work. Go ahead.
Absolutely. There you go.
Mm-hmm.
The moral of the story is they were preparing for the day's festivities and they decided to tidy up the yard. It's Lake Corpus Christi in southern Texas.
Mm-hmm.
So those of you who are not familiar with Texas, that's more in the Houston area. Corpus Christi is a suburb of Houston. So you're talking a bit desert.
3 degrees conditions. Cooler than hell down there.
Correct. Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Jennifer was working in a flower bed when she discovered an invader that was much more sinister than pesky weeds. God, this is the best article ever. Hiding among her flowers was a 4-foot-long Western Diamondback rattlesnake.
Wow.
Alerted by his wife's panic, Jeremy came over with a shovel and decapitated the snake, a move that for many other animals would have meant swift death. But what the Sutcliffes didn't know is that snakes can bite and inject venom for at least an hour, if not more, after being decapitated.
Good Lord!
What? So when Jeremy went to pick up the snake's head about 10 minutes later, he never expected it to bite him in the hand.
Oh! Oh! Well, no!
Jennifer's a nurse, so she was able to, like, treat it immediately, but they called 911, they went to the hospital, like...
And he was in a coma at the end of the day.
He was in a coma at the end of the day. He came out of his coma May 31st and is now in stable condition. He had been treated with 26 doses of antivenin.
Well, from what I understand, I read that story, and she's a nurse. She threw him in the car, and yes, frantically trying to find a hospital with antivenom, which you would think all the hospitals in the area would have antivenom.
You'd think, right. She wanted to find a specific antivenom hospital.
The closest hospital to antivenom, hour and 15 minutes away.
Yeah. Yes. Yep. And the funny thing is that as a nurse, she's privy to that information, right? Like, as a nurse, she knows that not every hospital is equipped with antivenom. So she, like, can you imagine just being a normal, you know, peasant, mm-hmm, and you get bit by a rattlesnake and you call 911 and the ambulance comes? And I mean, I guess you are treated in the ambulance, but who's to say, clearly, if all the hospitals don't have it, the ambulances don't have it. So then, right, you get an hour and a half drive in the ambulance.
You think they would have some sort of EpiPen with the antivenom available? You know, speaking as Fingers Malloy, the science boy.
Uh-huh.
You think it would be raining antivenom in Texas.
Right.
But there's one thing that would have been more
handy. I bet all the Virginia hospitals have antivenom.
I bet you for gardener snakes.
Mm-hmm.
But, it was handy that the wife is a nurse. The only thing that would have been more convenient is, instead of a nurse, if she would have been a snake handler, then none of this would have happened.
Can you imagine the crises that could be averted if more people were snake handlers?
Right? Why don't they teach that in high school?
It's a shame. They got rid of archery. They got rid of snake handling.
Like, if you're a Texas resident, say if you are the mayor of Corpus Christi. Corpus Christi?
Corpus Christi.
Corpus Christi? Corpus Christi? Corpus?
Isn't that right?
Corpus? Corpus? Corpus?
Corpus. Corpus. Now the word has lost all meaning.
Say you're the mayor of Houston.
Okay. Houston and surrounding areas.
Yes. What would come in more handy for you? In high school, Algebra 2 or snake handling? To me, I say snake handling.
At the very least, it should be offered as an elective.
Right.
Very least.
You should be taught, in the Houston schools, it's the practical stuff that really needs to be taught. Snake handling and warding off killer bees.
Right. Right.
Thank you.
Those should absolutely be, like, top things. Did you see the part in the article where they talk about the Chinese chef? Because that's my other favorite part.
No, I did not see the part. Where does the Chinese chef
So although being attacked, although being attacked by a severed snake seems unusual, Sean Bush, a snake expert at the Brody School of Medicine at East Carolina University, told NBC News in 2014 that it is, quote, very common for snakeheads to still bite because it's a last-ditch effort to survive. In 2014, a Chinese chef was reportedly killed by the head of a spitting cobra as he prepared to serve its body for soup.
No!
Yep.
Well, I'll say this about this restaurant. At least you know their cobra is fresh.
Fresh cobra.
It wasn't a frozen cobra.
No, there'll be none of that.
I would have that in my advertisement for the Chinese restaurant. Our cobra is so fresh, it almost killed our chef.
It should be like the top bill.
Did it kill the chef? It killed the chef.
Yes.
Wow.
Reportedly.
That's fresh cobra.
Because you know how the news is in China. It's all, you know, state-controlled.
Fake news.
So maybe the chef lived, but they don't want anyone else to do it again, so they told people.
Listen, it's important to the Chinese tourism industry to let people know from other countries when they go to China, when they travel to China for fresh cobra at the restaurants, they need to know it's extremely fresh.
Yes, extremely fresh. It's so fresh it just killed our chef. That is absolutely it. They sort of like give homage to like you. Like, it's funny how the article is. Jennifer hopes what will happen to her husband serve as a cautionary tale and people will know not to assume a snake is dead because it appears to be. It's a common thing for people to grab a shovel and cut off their heads or whatever. That's what people do a lot just out of fear. Jennifer seems really articulate.
And with that, we need to take a break. We'll be back with more of the Snark Factor on Wham Talk 1600 right after this. Wham Talk 1600. Welcome back. I'm Fingers Malloy. She's Sarah Smith. I just pulled a muscle scratching my back.
It's that time in life.
Yeah. God, you know, your 40s, Sarah Smith, you'll discover this in 15 years when you turn 40.
I'll be 40 in three years. I'm going to be 40. I'm so excited.
You're excited over the idea of turning 40?
The same thing happened. I feel like this is, no one does this, but the same thing happened in my teens, in my 20s. I spent the last couple of years just waiting to be in the, like, when I was in, I remember specifically in my late 20s being like, I am so sick of no one taking me seriously because I'm not 30 yet. Like, you would have conversations with people and they'd be like, well, how old are you? Like 27. And they'd go, oh. And then all of a sudden, like, how old are you? I'm 30. Oh, well, okay. Like, you carry some clout now because you're 30. Like, okay. And I kept waiting. Same thing with my teens. I was like, oh, when I'm in my 20s, people will finally take me seriously.
Oh, see, I've never had that problem. You know why?
Because you're a man.
Right.
And you
I got jokes.
You live under the blanket of the patriarchy, and the rest of us just have to suffer out here. No, same thing. I'm 30. I'm going to be 37 in a month and a half, and I'm super stoked about being 40.
You know what you need? You need a little gray hair. That's when people start taking you seriously.
I have gray hairs. Oh, I have many.
Oh, never noticed them before.
Well, just because they're sparse, but like I like my gray hairs.
See, I've gotten to the point now where my beard on my chin is almost completely white. So now I can stroke it.
Oh.
And people are like, oh, that man, he's got glasses and he's got a white beard. He probably has something very important and intelligent to say. And then
is it like salt and pepper scholarly white, or is it like...
Yeah, there are flecks of pepper, but it's mostly salt right now.
Okay.
Like, oh, he must be wise. Look at how he strokes his beard. I'm doing it right now. It's a good effect for radio.
For the radio audience?
Yes.
For the listening audience?
Those of you out there, I'm stroking my beard. I'm about to say something very wise.
What's it going to be?
The pause was a dramatic effect because I wasn't going to say anything all that intelligent. But no, here's the thing. About turning 40. Once you turn 40, for me, what I started doing was, as you get older, you have folks. Bill O'Reilly calls them the folks. Sarah Smith.
Right.
Folks out there your age who are dropping over dead. So when you find out that, you know, people that you went to high school with, oh, did you hear about Brad Stevenson? He died. And immediately, you in your head, you're crossing your fingers going, drug overdose, please, drug overdose, please be drug overdose, please be drug overdose. Because you don't want to hear about 40-year-old people dropping over dead of natural causes.
No, you don't.
People that you know.
Right.
So it's
people that you had a similar life to.
Right. Say Brad Stevenson.
I hope you don't know anyone named Brad Stevenson.
I hope not. But imagine I know Brad Stevenson, and Brad was the type of bloke who watched what he ate and went to the gym four times a week. And then you find out Brad dropped over dead of a heart attack at 40. Like, oh, no, I don't want to hear about that. I want to hear that Brad died. Did you hear about Brad? Loved the heroin.
Good. Right, that's the story I want to hear.
Yes.
I want to be like, oh, the heroin addict died? Right.
Okay. Right.
I'm surprised he made it this long.
Exactly. Oh, geez, he was 40 and he'd been doing Sweet 8 Chanel for 15 years. He was living on borrowed time, right. Sarah Smith.
Exactly. No, none of this, like, very healthy, eats all the right foods and drops dead.
Good God. I'm staring at 50. It's a little ways away, but, you know, 50. At that point.
Go get your genomes tested.
Why would I do that? That takes effort.
But then it'll tell you what diseases you're prone to get.
Mm.
And then you can just wait for them.
Yeah, thanks. And then I'm on WebMD every day looking for symptoms of those diseases.
Mm-hmm. And then you get to become a hypochondriac.
Right. No, thank you.
And get treated for that also.
But once you, when you're in your mid-40s, I mean, you're looking at the obituary freaking out when you see someone, oh, 43. You're thinking, oh, drug overdose. Died suddenly. Drug overdose. Please. No, I don't want to hear, oh, his heart popped like a zit. No.
Just out of nowhere.
Yes. So I don't know why anyone would be looking forward to turning 40, because it just goes downhill after that.
Well, because everybody dies.
Oh.
Like, dying doesn't bother me. Because, I don't know, because when you die, like, I know there is something else. It doesn't even, like, there's not a doubt in my mind. Mm-hmm. I don't know what it is, but I have no doubt. And it's just like, I don't know, you die. And even if there isn't anything else, guess what? You won't know because you'll be dead.
I'm not scared of dying. Actual death itself, I'm scared of dying.
Yeah, like the slow process of it.
Right.
This is the most cheerful Sunday morning discussion we have ever had. Everybody go to church when you're done listening to us today.
No, I watched my mother slowly die of cancer.
Yeah,
It didn't look like a picnic.
No.
And I've seen videos. I've watched on TV, like when Leo McGarity on The West Wing had a heart attack in the woods. I've seen people on TV shows have heart attacks. It doesn't look like it's a lot of fun.
You do know that it's television.
Da, 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 da,
and
then
it's actually probably much worse.
Oh, no, thanks.
Okay. Just want to make sure. I've been watching a lot of Grey's Anatomy, so I'm very, like, numb to it. I decided several weeks back that I've never seen the show. I've seen, like, two episodes, and it's 25 years on the air. I don't think it's that long, but it's long. And so I've decided in my spare time to watch through it. And I'm several seasons in. I mean, it's been several weeks. But it's just nothing bothers me anymore. I'm like, oh, everybody's dying and everybody has giant tumors growing in their body. And we're all just, you know, like I just am completely desensitized to it.
Well, clearly you don't care if you're watching Grey's Anatomy.
Right. I'm just like, oh, yes.
I don't care about anything in life
anymore. Much I've been watching. Right, right. I have no reason to live anymore. I just watch Grey's Anatomy. That's all I do all
just
day long.
Just waiting for the sweet angel of death to come down and kiss me on the forehead.
While I'm watching Grey's Anatomy.
Oh, my goodness.
No, I just feel like, and I'm glad you mentioned West Wing, because West Wing's another one that I've never seen West Wing, but like I need to watch the show. So I'm going to add that to my list next.
Because Leo McGarry.
Because I'm sure it's on like Amazon or something.
Leo McGarry. I don't know.
I don't even know who that is.
He was the chief of staff. The West Wing is really good for about three seasons, and then it gets absurd. So
that's fair. I mean, you got to keep it fresh.
Right. Like, I mean, the Cobra you can get
exactly.
At a Chinese restaurant.
Yes.
In China. What's their American food like in China? You ever wonder about that? Do they call it American food?
Yes.
Oh, wow.
It's not good.
It's not good?
My father's been to China.
Oh. Did he
get... And the food is not what he raved about.
What did he rave
and
about?
And we've had Chinese people come to our house, mm-hmm. like the people who represented him over in China would come to the house. And they came to the house once or twice. And they did, I'll never forget this, bread with applesauce on it was like their jam. Like they took a piece of bread and just like... put a spoonful of applesauce on it and ate it like open face, like a taco, like an applesauce taco, bread taco.
So at your house, you have, in Virginia, you keep applesauce on the table as a condiment? That's what you're telling me?
It was in Maryland when I was growing up, and my mother used to make homemade applesauce and homemade bread. So it was like a lunch. So there was applesauce, there was bread, there was meats, there was cheeses, there was probably some sort of like pasta or potato salad. There was like, it was a spread.
So applesauce was so plentiful in the Smith household, you used it as currency. That's what
correct.
That's what you're telling me.
In fact,
me.
There's probably several containers of frozen applesauce in my mother's freezer in Maryland right now.
Okay. So if I ever am privileged enough to have a meal mm-hmm. at the Smith residence, I need to request the applesauce.
Correct.
Okay.
Made of Lodi apples.
That's the key.
Fresh from...
No Granny Smith.
Nope.
Craziness.
Correct.
It's the Lodi. Logie?
Lodi.
Lodi. Lodi. Lodi.
L-O-D-I, I think.
Corpus maybe? Christi? Corpus? Corpus?
Corpus?
Corpus? Let's go back to the news.
Back to the news. This is a news story for those of you who work in an office setting. Mm-hmm. Non-drinkers are more likely to miss work than moderate drinkers.
Ah!
Now, I have a theory about this. You want to hear my theory first? You want to hear the article first?
Give us the article and then give us your theory.
Okay. So if you think heavy drinkers are more likely to miss days of work, you are wrong. Wrong. Teetotalers are just as likely to call in sick as those who consume heavy amounts of alcohol, according to a new report. Researchers from the Finnish Institute of Occupational Health recently conducted a study to determine which groups miss work the most. They surveyed more than 47,000 people. The questionnaire asked the participants about their alcohol use and the number of sick days they reported over the course of 4 to 7 years. Mm-hmm. Moderate drinkers, who were women, had 1 to 11 units of alcohol a week, while moderate drinkers who were men had 1 to 34 units weekly. What? Heavy drinkers had more than 11 for women. So they're just immediately off the jump here saying that women are lightweights.
Yep.
Okay, I just want to make sure that we've got this all right here. Furthermore, they found in the study that both abstainers and heavy drinkers had a high risk of sickness absence. In fact, both groups were more likely to be absent from work than moderate drinkers. So you're either a blithering drunk and you miss work, or you don't drink and you miss work. But people right in the middle don't miss as much work. And I'll give you my theory why.
That's the sweet spot right there.
The reason is because they're conscious enough to know that they need money to pay for their bar tab.
Oh.
And so they're like, I still have to continue to go to work because I need to be able to pay my bar tab. A drunk does not think about it. And a sober person is like, I can miss a day of work. Mm-hmm. I don't spend money on it. I have all this expendable income.
That's an interesting theory.
That's my theory.
My theory, and it's carried me through most of my adult years, is never trust anyone who doesn't drink.
That is an excellent piece of advice.
See, and I said that while I was stroking my white beard.
What about people that used to drink but don't drink anymore?
Okay, I trust those people.
Right.
They've seen some things, man. Right. They've seen some things. Maybe
they've seen so much that they had to stop.
Right.
Right.
And I really don't care if you're drinking or if you're not drinking when I'm talking to you at the bar. The people that crack me up are the people who feel like they have to put on an act.
Mm-hmm.
Like they'll go to the bartender and say, listen, give me a Diet Coke, but will you put a lime in it and a drinky straw? What do you call those? A drinky straw? You're a bartender. A drinky straw? You know what I'm talking about. The little cocktail straws. You call them.
It's a cocktail stir. It's a cocktail straw. Like cocktail. The skinny straws?
Yeah,
like
the little skinny straw.
Yeah, they're stirrers. Yeah. You would call that a stirrer because you also find those at coffee bars also. Like you stir your coffee with those. So there's a straw and there's a stirrer.
Yeah, I get a stirrer. Can you give me a Diet Coke in with a lime and a stirrer in it?
Or an umbrella.
Or an umbrella. Yes. Who puts umbrellas in drinks?
I went to a bar last weekend, mm-hmm. and they had – I'm going to actually text you a picture of it because it's hilarious. But their stirrers were animals. Like it was a giraffe. Like they served in their tall glasses. They had a plastic giraffe that they stuck in there, and that's what you stirred your drink with.
Was the name of the bar the Pink Giraffe?
It's called The Outpost.
Oh, The Outpost. Well, what?
The Outpost in Baltimore, Maryland.
Oh.
Really? Oh, my God. They serve macaroni and cheese with bacon, sriracha, breadcrumbs on top, and people get to Maryland, get to Baltimore, and go eat there. Free ad. That's how good it was. And, like, their short glasses had, like, a different kind of animal. I can't remember because I just kept getting big drinks. But somebody got a short drink, and it had a different animal stirrer.
A garter snake?
Just little plastic toys. Probably. Although a snake doesn't make a very interesting stirrer. It has to be something other that doesn't look like a stirrer.
Oh. I just like
stirrer.
Right, it's fun.
Stirrer.
See, this is the kind of stuff I would teach to kids in high school in Houston. This is the kind of stuff
that you need
to know.
The difference between a stirrer and a straw.
Right, right, exactly. That's going to come in more handy than trigonometry.
When are you ever going to use trigonometry?
Thank you.
Never, unless you're a trigonominist.
Say that five times fast.
Trigonominist, 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 trigonominist. I don't. It's not a word. So I can
four.
Say this many times as I want because I.
That was four. You cheated us.
I bet I would have messed up the last time.
No, if you need any trigonometry work done, say you've got a tree that needs some trigonometry work done, Sarah Smith.
Trigonometry?
Yeah. You go to the Google machine.
Yes, you do.
That's where you go.
Yes, you do. That's why they don't teach things like that in school anymore, because they're like, go to Google. They don't teach survival skills or archery, or because they're like, just go to Google. Go to Google and learn how to shoot an arrow.
Exactly. Well, the thing that cracks me up, and we're really sidetracked now, they've stopped teaching cursive writing in schools.
Cursive, that's really triggering. You just like triggered me. Did you hear how I got silent?
Yeah.
Triggered.
You because gasped.
I learned cursive in Montessori school when I was 3 and 4 and 5. And then I went to public school when I was 6. Mm-hmm. And I got in trouble for writing in cursive because I wasn't supposed to know. I got bad marks in handwriting for my first 3 years of school because I wrote in cursive and I wasn't supposed to know how to do that yet.
Oh, yeah.
And so my teachers would be like, unsatisfactory in handwriting. And I'd be like, but I'm writing in cursive. So now they don't even teach it at all. So all that I went through was for naught. the struggles.
Well, how are you supposed to sign your name without knowing cursive? And then you have people that don't know how to read cursive. They think you're using some sort of spirograph machine to sign your name. They have no idea what's going on.
Yeah, how do you sign your name if you don't know cursive?
With an X. That's
all. I mean, I've adapted my signature. I don't write the cursive S. I write a regular S, mm-hmm, in my signature. But like, that's just because I'm an adult and I can do whatever I want. Like, I needed to learn cursive first in order to get where I got with my signature.
I do the same thing. You know, I get hounded with autograph requests. You know,
of course. Yeah. And the cursive F is such a pain.
Right. So I use the printed version of the F for fingers.
I bet that looks really good.
Just look at the 3 or 4 things over the years I've autographed for you.
Like very powerful, like F fingers.
Yes.
F fingers. And the ingers is a very graceful cursive.
It is.
Flow. Ingers. It is. I'm into it. And you get to do that thing where you start the I at the top instead of at the bottom, where it just like is kind of like an incomplete C.
I use a smiley face for the dot.
Aww.
I freely admit it. So you guys know out there, if you know someone's trying to sell you an autographed picture of me, you'll know it's truly authentic if it's a printed F with a smiley face dot on the eye.
Well, now everybody knows how to do your signature.
Drat!
there's gonna be fake fingers, Malloy fingers, signatures all over eBay by night's end.
Doggone it! These criminals are one step ahead of me.
You want to hear another news story?
Sure.
This is a very important news story.
Okay.
The top 10 U.S. cities for tick problems.
Oh.
It's tick season. Check, mm-hmm, yourself for ticks. I don't know if anyone out there knows anyone with Lyme's disease, but it sucks. Check ticks. Check for ticks. And deer ticks are tiny. Like, don't just kind of look around to see if there's something swollen on you. Because really, to be honest with you, the ticks that swell up aren't the ones you need to worry about. Those are really easy to find. It's the deer tick that bites you and then falls off, and then you don't find it for days, and you find that, oh, Lord. Okay, so top 10 cities that are having deer problems this season. Chicago, Illinois, Hartford, Connecticut, Boston, Massachusetts, Monmouth, New Jersey. I don't know why they make a list and put cities that no one's ever heard of.
It's called Houston.
Right. It's Houston, New Jersey, Washington, D.C., Rapid City, South Dakota, Boise, Idaho, Dayton, Ohio, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, and St. Louis, Missouri. Mm-hmm. Anyone in the listening audience in any of those areas, be extra vigilant. Go to the Amazon and get one of those tick remover things. They work like a charm. And just please be very careful. It's tick season.
Here's what
Your
I know
best
about
just not ever go outside.
Here's what I know about ticks, and I learned this in my years as a high school student in Houston. Oddly enough, Houston, New Jersey.
Of course.
You
beautiful, beautiful city.
You can decapitate a tick and still worry that it will bite you an hour later. So
be careful. That's why you have to burn ticks.
That's right.
Because decapitating them doesn't work.
It doesn't
it's
work.
Really and it's especially easy to decapitate a tick.
Right.
Actually, I say that as a joke, but it actually is really easy to decapitate a tick because if you pull it off wrong, the head comes off and that's what gets stuck in your body.
Mm-hmm.
So it actually is. I was making a joke, but my joke was not funny because it's true. Shoot. Sorry. That's the other thing you need to know. If you're pulling a tick off, that's why you need the tick remover thing, because it pulls the head out, because that's where you really get in trouble, where if you pull a tick off and the head is still in you.
Yeah.
I'm literally sitting here checking my legs like while we talk. I haven't been outside 36 hours and I'm just like, well, I have a tick.
But here's the problem too. We as Americans have gotten soft.
They're very true.
When I grew up, way back in the day, in mid-Michigan, we used to wrestle deers. Deer, not deers.
Deers. Wrestle deers.
Wrestle deers. We used to wrestle them. We didn't care or worry about ticks. We were up for wrestling.
Fearless.
Right.
You were fearless. You were fearlessly wrestling.
That's right. And you don't catch the kids today wrestling deer.
No, you don't.
Deers.
If they do it, they do it on their box eye machines.
Right. Yeah, and they think it's real, Sarah Smith. They get on their Nintendos. They get on their ColecoVisions. And they sit in front of the TV playing their deer wrestling games, thinking it's real. It's not real. I mean,
is the can we, just on a serious note, is there a deer wrestling video game? Because if there isn't, I feel like we should just go. We know people who can design video games. Get two or three people together. Well, we have to.
What was that?
We have to.
I gotta edit that out now. Thanks. I gotta bleep you.
I didn't curse.
Yes, you dropped an F bomb.
Did I? All right, edit it all out.
Well, it's live. I had to push the button. I'm edited. I'll edit it for the podcast.
We're live. Speaking of doing it live,
I love how you know what you know what made you drop an F-bomb? Deer wrestling. That's
I still don't think that I did. I really don't.
Well, we're out of time, though.
Oh no. Okay. Well, either way, there should be a deer wrestling video game
on the Sega Genesis.
And I would appreciate it if no one steals our idea and lets us go on with the development stages.
Deer wrestling. That'll be the name of the game. Hey, they had Pitfall.
I'm saying Pitfall was a great game.
Yeah. Best 2 out of 3 in deer wrestling. And then you can have like really cool names, like wrestling names, like Dr. Feelgood or the Iron Grappler.
Nice. Oh, but they should. Okay, well, this is going to be a really interesting board meeting because we need to have the wrestlers' names need to all be like deer puns.
Oh,
it's going to take some work.
Yeah,
it's going to take some dedication. But I believe that we can do. I think we can do anything we set our minds to.
That's true. And we're going to have to talk about this at another time because we're out of time.
Oh, well, it's been a pleasure as always.
Right back at you. Thanks for listening, everyone in Southeast Michigan. We'll be back next week with another Snark Factor on Wham Talk 1600.